602, we got Alderman Cook, Alderman Puckhauser, myself, we got Alderman Polter, and Greenland, and the rest of the staff. We've got any citizens' comments on agenda items? Greenland or person? Minutes for approval or correction?
There are two comment sections on this agenda. There's only the one at the top.
Oh, we don't have them, okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Let's do citizen comments now. Any citizen comments in general?
So my name is Molly Kresge, and I was just coming to see if, in fact, this is the committee that will be assigned this adult entertainment issue that has come up in the city. And I just wanted to talk about a couple of things. I've got a quote here from Michael Warren. It says, "In America, the government governs the citizenry according to the law, not by the whims or fancies of our leaders. By requiring our leaders to enact and publish the law and to adhere to the same law that applies to each citizen, the rule of law acts as a potent barrier against tyrannical and arbitrary government." And so I think that's kind of what we're seeing right now is some of the upper management here is making decisions based upon their own personal preferences. And we have statutes that have already been established for these kinds of things in the community. And the one statute that I think is really important that we look at was established based upon the secondary effects doctrine. And that's a really old doctrine, like 46 years old, established in 1976, based upon a bunch now tried and tested, based upon tons of cases that have gone to the Supreme Court. This has been upheld, tons of reports and judicial opinions. And so when we use our own thoughts and opinions and whims and we depart from what's written in the statutes already that have been established based upon all of this legal precedent, 46 years of legal precedent, we throw that out and we say that we're just gonna reinvent this and we're gonna do this our own way here in Yorkville. We really put our community at risk. And I have a really great explanation from the Plano, Illinois statutes of the secondary effects doctrine. And it explains how this is not an infringement of someone's First Amendment rights to sexual expression, but it's a balancing of their First Amendment rights and the city's rights to a clean and safe and nice place to raise your family. And so that's what this doctrine is. It's a balancing of those things. And I think we're getting into a situation in Yorkville where we're treating, and bigotry has been thrown around a lot, and I'm actually glad that it's been brought up, because when someone who is a bigot will treat classes differently, based upon their own personal preferences. And that's, I'm the one that actually is being accused of being a bigot. But really, I do think that there is bigotry here. And not on my part, but maybe by some of the members of the city council that want to treat people who are transgender or people who are participating in drag as a special class. And so we have entertainment that normally or traditionally gendered people will perform. And we also have entertainment that transgender or drag people or however you want to dress, entertainment that they can perform. And all of that entertainment needs to be monitored and the law needs to be applied equally to both of those classes. And you have just standard, respectable talent that would be appropriate for everyone in the community on one end of that spectrum. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have a measure of that would be considered adult entertainment based upon our statutes. And that needs to be applied to both groups equally. So we've seen, and I FOIA'd this information, Meatballs was having lingerie shows and those were shut down. Lingerie and fashion shows are in our adult entertainment statute, so I would understand why that would be shut down. So now we have these people who are exposing their buttocks which is also in the adult entertainment statutes as something that, that can't go on in an area that's not zoned and licensed for adult entertainment. But we're, I don't know if we're afraid or we want, there's some agenda where we want that to be okay. And that, to me, that's bigotry. So it's you know, a 30-year-old woman couldn't expose her buttocks in a bar, but a 25-year-old trans or a drag king or queen or whatever it is, they would be able to do that. So we can't be applying the law unequally. We need to, and that's just like a basic tenet of what it is to be in America. That's the protection that we have here. I mean, I have a ton of other stuff to go over, but I don't want it to be long, so I won't do it all tonight. But I do really think this is something that we need to start talking about, and we need to start looking at without a lot of emotion. I know there's a few people that I've talked to, but the conversations have been really unproductive because it's all name calling, it's all I'm a bigot, it's all you don't even live in the city. I just want to say I own 5 houses in the city. I pay taxes to this city for 5 houses. I have input on what happens here. I care about what happens here. So we need to get that out of the way. We need to get the bigotry out of the way and just really be able to have a conversation about the facts, because once we do that, I think it's going to become really clear what's going on. But I think maybe there are people that are afraid to have that conversation because it may become really clear what's going on. So I'm just asking you to please assign this to a committee, get it as an item that we can really discuss, and I can go over the rest of these points, but I won't keep you tonight because I know it's not on the agenda. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Mike Kronsky. So one of the things that's most important is this country is founded on morals and rule of law. And we're going the opposite direction of both those scenarios. A civilization, a nation, cannot sustain itself. It's been proven over and over again in history that it cannot sustain itself if it departs from morals and it departs from rule of law. And we don't want to see this community that happen. We're not getting anywhere with some of the city councilmen and some of the other people in the city because they want to just blurt out name calling. And we want to have a civil conversation about this. There's our laws in place, and it's worth having a discussion about it. It's like any other thing that was happening in the city. If something, an ordinance or a law was broken, you'd expect that you'd have a civil conversation about it. We were told by the head of this city council that he's in charge, he's the boss, he tells how things operate. That's not true. The people are in charge. We the people, okay? The only authority that the city council is given, or the mayor, or anybody else that works for the city, is because the people give them those abilities, authorities, they come from us, the people. So when the citizens have a concern, we would just like it addressed. There are a lot of people in this community that have concerns about this. A lot of them will come out and specifically come here and speak about it because for a lot of reasons, because they don't want to be harassed and they don't want to be called names and all these things that are happening. But they do have a concern. So there are a few that will come and speak out for them. So I can tell you that all the interaction we've had, it's an overwhelming majority of people in this community are concerned about this. One of the things that was never brought up by us was the fact that this has anything to do with transgender. The only body that ever brought up about being transgender is the city council. It has nothing to do with transgender. Cabaret, adult entertainment, male, female impersonation, it has nothing to do with what gender you are. That's bigotry when you classify something like that. That's not what it is. This type of entertainment, drag, or male female impersonation, can be done by anyone. So when we try to classify it or put it under a certain class, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a type of entertainment that is classified as adult entertainment, which is allowed to be restricted. Restricted in a sense not against our First Amendment rights, but restricted in the sense that the community has a right to mitigate those secondary effects. Community doesn't want more crime. They don't want their property values going down. All these things have been proven. There's over and over again studies with this secondary effects that this type of entertainment brings. Communities do this all the time. They take adult entertainment and they put it in a certain section of the community. Okay, they don't ban it. They just restrict it in a certain way that allows the community to still thrive while allowing people to still have their rights. I don't think that's too much to ask to accommodate the entire community, not watch the community fall apart. One of the things I was brought up is, well, you can't prove that it'll affect the community. We don't have to. The U.S. Supreme Court says you don't have to. The U.S. Supreme Court says you can use other studies to prove that this is what happens. That's why it was upheld in Renton versus Playtime Theater case, because they didn't have to go out, they didn't have to let their city get destroyed before they proved it. They were able to go out around communities around them and use those studies to prove that this is what happens when we bring this type of entertainment to the community. So we just ask that the city council seriously looks at all those things and considers just upholding the ordinances we have in place. Again, you know, I find it a little bit suspicious that the mayor said he had a conversation with these businesses. There's a couple things with that. First of all, if he had a conversation with them, either he's violating their First Amendment rights by coming to him as authority figure of this city council and telling them to tone it down. Okay, that's a violation of their First Amendment rights. Either they committed an offense, or they violated an ordinance, and he needs to deal with that, or nothing happened, and he violates their First Amendment rights. You can't have it both ways, okay? So, obviously, if the mayor thought it was enough to have a conversation with them, there's something going on there. And the city council, the government of this community needs to be held accountable. They have to be responsible for what happens in this community. And that's all we're asking to have, that we just have a civil conversation about this and talk about actual facts instead of just throw a name call. I can't even believe that disrespect that we've received over this and the kind of just conversation we had about it. It's unbelievable. We have talked to some people that are polite and answer our questions, but there are many that just out in public want to just start yelling, screaming, things like bigots. So that's just uncalled for. I don't think that's the kind of the way we want our city represented while going out into other communities in Kendall County. The other people in this county saw that activity. I don't think that's the way we want Yorkville represented. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Minutes for correction and approval, August 2nd, 2022. All right, EDC 2022-53, building permit report for July 2022.
Mr. Rados. All right, in July we issued 147 building permits. 10 of those were single family detached homes, 12 were for commercial. Construction value is slightly over $3 million for that period of time. That's what the value of construction units completed.
Anybody have any questions? All right. Stick with you again for EDC 2022-54 building inspection report for July 2022.
All right, July we conducted 795 building inspections. Of those, we outsourced 151. So we have 644 in house and 102 of them are building fire code academy.
Perfect. Anybody see any questions, comments, concerns? All right. Back to you again for EDC 2022-55. Property maintenance report for July of 2022.
All right. In July, we had a hearing four cases. Excuse me. We had two of those were weeds and grass that were found viable. Standout would be the Liberty Street vacant lot. That's what we've had in the past. I'm sure if it's near your ward, you've heard about it, but yeah, we're working with owners trying to get a cut of it.
Okay.
Okay.
Alderman Blocher. Good. I think he came off mute for a second. I think it was good. All right. EDC 2022-56, Economic Development Report for August of 2022. Ms. Lynn Dubacek.
Yes, so we have the report in the packet, just a couple of updates. Bell Tire has opened. Noodles will probably open about the third week of September. They're finishing up and have to turn it over and then have to do some training. Very close, but it'll probably start with the day they open. And Caring Hands is anticipating to be fully open around the third week of October. So, because right now they reopened the original space and so have everything all working together mid-October.
Perfect. And Iconic Coffee is open and Chipotle looks like end of 2022, is that what it says?
Yeah, they're even really trying. They're going for it. So, yeah, Iconic Coffee is open, and Chipotle, they're really going to try to get it in there before the year ends. So.
Same with Crafted, too, right?
Yes,
those
yes.
are the ones I've getting a lot of questions about.
Yeah.
Fox Den Bakery just right. got their license from the state.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yes. So,
progress all around.
Here, so they're going to open it in early 2023, right? Yeah. The meter is going to be in.
It sounds like that could bring some good revenue to
yes.
our area because there's not a lot of meateries around.
Yes.
And when you say meatery, most people are like, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
They think meat. They're thinking of like a meatery.
Yes.
If he does the right product, which is he's modeling after some other like nationally famous meateries, there will be people that will drive from states away basically for their things. So, I mean, he's got to produce it first at that quality. But, that's what you're looking at. It's almost like a tourism thing.
Cool. Well, they've got a nice outdoor area too. So.
Yep.
Perfect.
Okay.
Any questions? Anybody have questions for EDC report? Thank you. I appreciate it. All that you do, you do a great job. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We are moving along to EDC 2022-57, Williams Group Riverfront Walk and Arts Easement.
We actually had something pop up between Packet Creation and Current, so it's not in its final form. The gist of the locations of both probably won't change. We're probably going to have to tweak some angles as it gets closer to their building, and so we would just request that this be brought back next month for discussion again.
Okay.
And
I have one question. Yeah. So we've got the arguments.
Yep.
Solely specifically for art, or is this something that the language would allow us to be able to use it as wayfinding? Or is it going to be truly interpreted as art?
So it would be art as a final art plan, so it could be interactive sculpture, which could have wayfinding capabilities to it, but it just has to be something that is approved through the art plan.
Okay, I just want to make sure there's a little flexibility on this. That's that interpretation.
Okay. Anybody else have questions on that? New business number 6, which is 2022-58, Williams Group tip number 2, Fox Republic Brewing.
Okay, so there's a nice memo in the packet that outlines the parameters of the TIF agreement and what the Williams Group is going to be bringing to the city. They did have a presentation brief that got included in the packet with budget and timing and some kind of layouts, and I was going to give them a few minutes to kind of just go over their vision of what they're going to do inside. The actual meat and potatoes of the agreement is our standard TIF agreement. 75% of whatever the annual increment is will go to the Williams Group as long as they complete the project according to what's in the agreement. And a maximum cap of 25% of their total investment can be recouped over the remaining life of the TIF, which is currently at about 8 years. So with that, I'll turn it over to Ed or Mike. You guys want to give a brief overview? Yeah.
Basically, everything's in the packet there. We've got a beautiful space down there that kind of lends itself to a small brewery. We've got an experienced brewer with over 20 years experience who's on board with it. We're looking at like a 7-barrel brewery. Capacity, we're envisioning somewhere between 90 and 100 people with a small outdoor patio. Everything done in-house. We're still working on the concept, how it will be detailed, how it will be laid out. We have a rough idea, and that's included. That's kind of where we are right now. It used to be the dojo portion of the building back in the day. It's currently a dog training facility right now. It's got a
trust roof. We've already done a lot of the groundwork with this, and we think it's going to be a nice addition to the downtown spot.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it. Anybody else have any questions?
Just so I want to make sure I understand. So this is a second amendment compared to the one we approved like a month or two ago.
Yeah, I think Kathy titled the agreement as a second agreement. And whether it's an amendment or an agreement, I guess matters less in title than what the contents of it say. And the way that it was explained to me is you've got, let's see, I'll pull the map. You have multiple lots within this property. So even, like this is one lot here, this is another one here, here, here. So we're considering it all as one development, and so she thought that it was more clear to just say, you know, the first agreement is for this portion of the building, this second agreement is for the second portion of the building. So they kind of, you know, stand on their own, is how she had explained it to me. So, and me not being an attorney, I felt that was adequate. It won't matter for our administration of it. They've got to complete the build out according to those plans, and then we go from there.
So in the previous agreements where we negotiated the use of the Water River, right?
Yeah.
So that's not part of this next part of the other deal.
Yeah, correct. So they would still have to, as part of our prior TIF agreement with them, provide the easements, which won't be a problem. And it's just not referenced in here because this deal is strictly bring us a brewery, renovate the space, operate it as a brewery, and then you get a little bit of TIF assistance on the back end after the project is completed.
Would we be able to generate parking?
We have had that conversation briefly internally. We didn't think it was an issue for this one necessarily because we kind of looked at the parking lot there as serving this entire site. And then obviously when it gets further redeveloped, we're going to have to do something in a larger concept. So whenever, like, for instance, when they decide to redo this Reds baseball, like, you know, that's much larger than any of these other pieces. We would definitely have to address it at that point. We would have to say we're either okay with there being no parking on site because we want it to be built out as much as possible, or we want a little parking, or you know, we want mostly parking so that we don't have any on-street parking. So it's been part of the discussion this time.
Do we have any projections on the TIF timing for the funds to be generated and prepaid?
It all depends on whenever they complete it. So, you know, in general, the exact month can matter according to the assessor, and when it hits is partial or full. So I think we've got a deadline in there, end of 2023, if I remember correctly, for completion. They think they're gonna complete it before then. So if they renovate it on time, mid-fall, there's like a 50-50 chance that that's either a partial or a full assessment, which will then, you know, hit TIF increment.
And then, how do you know more interested, how many years? Because their payback is, it's not a whole lot, 25% of the total investment.
Sure.
With that increment, 75%, we have an idea of how long it takes to pay that back, generally.
So, I mean, they will do their own modeling as part of their own internal. You know, we've seen figures on other projects that the full amount of the 25% maximum payback probably won't be hit within the 8 years. So it just depends on whatever the assessor values it at, and you know where that increment goes.
The rents, that's they got 3 years on their rental. Don't they have an agreement?
Yeah.
So that's what, 2025?
Yeah. All right. Any other questions, comments, concerns? Our EDC 2022-59, Windmill Farms, Third Amendment to Annexation Agreement, Restore Church.
Before we move forward, is it okay if this goes on City Council agenda?
Yes.
Okay, next week?
If we can get it on next week.
Yeah, we can. Consent or regular?
Just put it on consent, fine.
Yeah, consent.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay. All right. We'll go
Sure.
This is a project that we're familiar with Windmill Farm. There were several parcels that were included in the development. Some did not get sold as part of the development to the prior developer, so they were kind of like left in the wings and saddled with entitlements, but were not inclusive as an overall development. So over the years, those parcels have remained vacant. We've got new users, so before we had Highview come in 2018-2019 to do a commercial land use, rezone those parcels. More recently, we had Brook Lodge come in for that one single residential parcel to rezone it to B3. And this particular development encompasses three parcels within the Windmill Farms. One parcel would be used for religious institutional land use, and a total of 33 acres. They are proposing to do the same thing, rezone to the underlying zoning, which is B3, so out of that PUD district that does no longer exist, and then amend the annexation agreement to take them out of the Windmill Farms property. So the petitioner, Dirk Gash from Restored Church, is here. If you have any questions, this does go to our public hearing, both at City Council for the amendment of the annexation agreement and to PCC for the rezoning.
Any other questions? You guys did a good job laying everything out. Can't have questions?
No.
Basically, it's just cleaned that whole thing up, right?
Right, it's cleaned up.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's been a few years.
Yeah.
Can I push this out to council? You said it would be PCC too?
Yes, so it'll be PCC in October, and City Council, I believe, in September or October for a public hearing.
Okay. Okay. All right, on to 12. Old business number one, EDC 2020-32, urban domesticated chickens.
So we took your comments from the August 2nd meeting and adjusted our proposed regulations. So now we're including more parcels because we reduced the minimum lot size from 12,000 square feet to 11,000 square feet. And the enclosure coop regulations, the 4 foot tall privacy fence is required, or a solid yard fence along the perimeter of the lot if they do have chickens. And the last adjustment was in regards to permitting. We are requiring a permit without an inspection, and we are not requiring HOA approval to issue a permit.
Can you explain the HOA approval?
So it's the same as when we issue a fence permit. Person comes in, they have their pledge, and we're going to have the chickens, make sure it meets our regulations, and we will not require prior approval by the HOA or proof of prior approval for the HOA for us to issue the permit.
So what happens is in the HOAs, they want a permit before they will approve. And then sometimes we get in the way and we say, no, we want their approval, so then they disappear in purgatory trying to figure out what to do. So that's why what she's saying is works well.
Do you have to worry about a situation where they can turn around and say the city says it's okay and an HOA gets ruled against?
They're supersedes what we have.
Yeah, they're like separate entities. I mean, they're untitled. They've got their own bylaws and stuff. They function as their own mini government almost. So
I just wondered if they could challenge it. Because I mean, the city says they're allowed, and then
they might be able to, but that would be civilly between them and their HOA.
And it's already recorded at the county level, so it's, I've never seen anything like that. But
yeah, we talked about that at the last meeting, and it was just like, we're not requiring it for fences, which is a pretty big issue. You know, why would we require it?
Right. So. Yeah. Try to make it at least a little bit easier.
You had an opportunity to use a chicken or an egg reference there. You talked about purgatory and which one comes first. And like that.
She said something about wings over there before this. It's going to fall.
Nice.
All right, questions, comments, concerns with this?
The only concern I have still is the fence, requiring the fence around the property. Trying to make this as easy as possible for people to engage in this use, but the restriction of fencing around the property, and we talked a lot about this one, and we went back and forth, it's just burdensome. trying to allow someone flexibility, and I know that there's issues of whether you have dogs, neighbors, and things like that. There's never going to be a good solution this way. So that's been a big issue. But it's like, if you, like, I'll take my here for instance. I have a 4-foot fence, but it's a picket fence.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. I might spend $several thousand.
Why not?
Put it in there.
Well, why not pay the money? If you really want the chickens that bad, you'll do it.
But
I am coming from a chicken farmer.
Yeah, I know. You'll do it. You'll do it if you really want it that bad.
But also, like, you know, if you get a bunch of dogs on a neighbor yard, you know, hey, do I have to put up a fence to keep your dogs out of my yard? You know, to keep your dogs from barking and harassing me? It goes both ways. It's
sure.
a difficult scenario to find equilibrium. It's never going to happen. We're just trying to get government out of the way and make people, or allow people to have more uses and a little less burdens and regulation. I mean,
and I think the biggest concern I got from constituents were the fact that, hey, what if you have one person that wants to put chickens in, you get five people around them or four people, and some of those people have dogs. Now their dogs are going nuts. Yeah. And then they're worried about hawks coming in or prey, and they're like, so they put chickens in, great, but then now all the neighboring dogs, so one person affects potentially 3 to 5 different neighbors.
You have a current alderman that would have a dog that would go after the chickens.
Yeah.
And he told me, yeah, he goes, my dog would kill him.
Yeah.
So
that's why I think the privacy fence, in my opinion, and from what I listened to what residents said, would be one of the best options, because then the dogs wouldn't see it, right? So that would help out. You know, you're trying to find that commonality in the common ground, so it's not burdensome or too restrictive, but then by the same token, how do you make it so it's not the opposite?
But we're also not allowing them to free range in the yard.
Right.
They are to be enclosed.
Right. So. But then you're kind of stipulating, well, then you got to put it somewhere and put landscape around it so nobody can see it, or the dogs can't see it if you got neighboring dogs, because that's, you know, people that, you know, I've had people say, oh, my cousins live by salmon, the dogs are always running around, and they put a privacy fence up. Mm-hmm. So it's, yeah, it's 6 of 1 and 1/2 dozen of another.
Right, and that's really the issue. I mean, we've got the coop, you got the run area enclosed, covered.
Right.
But then you put the fence around the property, you get to the secondary level.
Oh. And we're talking about a minute amount of people. I mean, look how many subdivisions we have that you can't have any type of dog run, so you're not going to be allowed a chicken run. And most of the newer subdivisions stipulate you can't have it either. So.
So it's like my thought is,
yeah,
in the lesser restricted neighborhoods, allow it. Because if you already have restricted neighborhoods, they're going to go through and they're going to make sure that this doesn't happen no matter which way.
Yeah.
Look at it.
I just can't get behind that because I'm going by what people were saying on privacy fence. They don't want their dogs, they don't want to have to keep their dogs inside because somebody put chickens in that was just newly allowed. So.
And they can see them, they'll be at that fence.
Yeah. I will concede to what we put in here, what you guys drew up from the last meeting, from our last discussion. But I think at that point, that's where I would like to be.
So picket fences out of the line, and so you can go down. It's a cost right now.
Yeah.
Fencing wood materials is absolutely through the roof. It's ridiculous. So we're trying to be good government,
sure,
to facilitate people being autonomous and accountable for themselves. You stab yourself in the back when you're trying to do that. So you try to do one good thing and you do another bad thing that doesn't. I would bet that unless somebody already has a fence, we're not going to stay single purpose.
I don't think I've had anybody reach out in the past. Especially the past year, saying that they want them. I think you've had a handful of people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're predicating this on a handful of people that potentially may or may not want it. So I think
it's every ordinance we do.
Yeah. I get it.
I'm going to have a lot of people at me.
If you do it.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, that's why I know.
They'll be upset.
I've already been told it. So
I will stay with what staff drew up for here. And then I don't know what Closure's thoughts are. He's off of you. Alderman?
Joe, you might have to check your audio settings.
Or comment, put the comments in.
Oh yeah, hold on. Maybe it's a speaker actually.
Is it turned off?
Yeah, probably.
Then a microphone too.
Yeah. Well, you can hear it from the audience, so he can hear everything. What about now, Tess?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. I agree with Chris on this. I mean, if we're going to make such a restrictive ordinance, what's the point? I mean, I can see most of your people that have HOAs are going to not allow it anyways. But the handful that do, you shouldn't make it impossible. Otherwise, don't pass it off.
No, but if you really want it that bad, then doing it the right way is the wrong thing.
I guess my point is, last time we had the discussion, we all came to terms with, let's have staff rearrange this. They did, and now we're wanting more, and to change it even more. So where do we just keep changing it? I mean, and to me, I think this is, I mean, I've already stated it, but this is where I'm at.
It's where I'm at, too.
So it's a split 2-2.
I think that's just the one sticking point, is just trying to make it
right.
Feasible. Because so many things that we do here, we try to do something that's good, justifiable, and beneficial, but then we always have some type of little sticking point that is typical government. And at place, you know, we got this from being...
It was, this got whittled way down.
I know, but we got this from being...
You whittled away more and more. It's just...
Well, I mean, what, E1 was 2 parcels, R1 was 135 parcels, so we're trying to look at, you know, making this good for the, across the city, you know, we went from 135 parcels to 5,000 parcels that are potentially used or can potentially have this applied. Now, take out all the HOAs, that cuts that down substantially, because we're not even, this doesn't account for any of the HOAs that have restrictions. That's just zone the lots that meet the criteria. So it's one of those, I want to try to make this viable. I think just adding a solid fence is just, it's difficult. And that's where I think we're not going to get the people getting wanting to do this. I mean,
worst case scenario, we could push what we have through, and then we could monitor feedback, right? And if people are saying this is too restrictive, then maybe we revise it or we have a deeper discussion on that. But I think we talked about it a couple of years ago, we put a survey out, and then I didn't hear anything else after that, and then it just resurfaced, and we keep, as Alderman Cope said, keep chiseling away at it. And I think, I mean, he's a no. I will proceed with what we have now if you guys want, but otherwise we're going to be in a split 2-2, and it's kind of a moot subject. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Well, so cloture. If this is
moving forward, as is, noise ain't going to go anywhere.
And we can put the one point in on for council, that's the only point of discussion at this point.
Okay.
It's fence or no fence. It's split with the recommendation.
So put it on the regular agenda.
I mean, if there's consensus, it would go to.
Okay. All right, so let's move it forward the way that staff has it written. Thank you guys for doing that again.
Can it be not this coming council, but the one after? Because I may not be available.
Yeah,
we can, because it does affect me. You know,
that's fair.
Yeah, right? Green Briar and Sunwater, both of them would be wide open for this.
No, I think they would like to hear your discussion too, because you're the chicken expert.
So 9:27, regular agenda.
Yes, okay. If possible.
All right. And the ordinance as it's drafted will go into the packet, and then we'll do our best to narrate the policy question at hand with the fence. In the memo, I mean.
Yeah, that kind of part is good. Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you, Alderman Cloture.
No problem.
Now that we can listen to
him. Right. All right. Any other questions, comments, concerns? Meeting called at 6:41 and 51 seconds. All right, thank you guys.
Thank you.